Health Reform Resource Project is an initiative that receives support from 6 health foundations in Kansas. These are philanthropies that support the health and health care of the citizens of Kansas. And my job is to do outreach and education around health reform and the Affordable Care Act and talk to different groups of people about how the law might affect them.
What has been the most difficult part of your job in getting this information out?
Most of the information that people have about the law has been filtered through politics. Much of what people believe they know about the law is misinformation, and there's been a lot of fear tactics about the law, and so it's very difficult to try to start from scratch and cut through all that and get through all the politics to get to what the law really is about.
Take us a little bit into some of the things that you hear that are not correct.
One group of people I'm very concerned about are senior citizens, because a lot of senior citizens have been told that this law either eliminates Medicare or kicks them off Medicare when they reach a certain age. Some of the common questions I get are, is it true that when I hit 75, I'll no longer be allowed to get health care services? And so none of that is true. The law really makes very few changes to Medicare. The changes it makes mostly enhance Medicare benefits, and it is not eliminating Medicare. Another piece of misinformation that is still very prevalent is the notion that somehow there are death panels associated with this law, that there is some group of bureaucrats in Washington who will decide whether or not people are entitled to get health care services. And that, of course, is not true either, but a lot of people still believe that.
Talking with Sheldon Weisgrau, director of the Health Reform Resource Project. Well, of course, a couple of the controversial parts of the legislation include the mandate. Why does the mandate exist that you have to get health insurance?
The law is put together. It's like a puzzle. There are pieces of it that fit together, and there is some method to the madness. And so the mandate is very unpopular, but the mandate supports another part of the law that is very popular, and that's the part of the law that outlaws insurance companies from refusing to sell policies to people with pre-existing conditions. If we want a system where anybody can buy health insurance regardless of their health status, we need some way to make sure that both healthy people and sick people are involved in the insurance pools. If we were to limit the insurance pools only to sick people, premiums would be unaffordable for anybody. So what this law tries to do is it says to healthy people, you also have to come into this system to support the viability of the insurance companies that are providing coverage to all of us.
In what ways that has now become law, in what ways does it increase options rather than limiting them?
I can't think of many cases. Maybe you can give me a few examples where it eliminates options. I think what this law does is for people who are unable to buy health insurance today because of pre-existing conditions, this law does nothing but increase their options. It gives them an opportunity to buy insurance. For other people who might have to buy insurance in the individual market, where the prices tend to be high and the policies tend to be skimpy, it gives them more options for the type of plans they might get and more types of coverage they may be able to buy.
As we wrap up our interview with Sheldon Weisgrau, he is the director of Health Reform Resource Project. Let's go a little bit into the premiums, because I know that people are concerned their premiums are going to go up exponentially because of how many more people are being added to the system, almost as much as 30 million.
Time will tell what happens to premiums. That is not something that we are going to really have an answer to at the end of this first year or even at the end of a few years. It's going to take a few years for those numbers to shake out. The one thing we do know about premiums so far this first year is that they are lower than what was expected. That doesn't mean that some people won't pay higher premiums, but I think very few people are seeing anything like the exponential increases that we were told about. For a lot of people, premiums are going down. It kind of depends on where you're from and what the previous insurance rules were in your state, but it's going to vary all over the map. And it's going to take some time for that issue to really shake out and for us to understand.
Employers, what do they need to know about this law?
Well, a couple of different types of employers are affected differently by this law. Employers with less than 50 employees are not impacted directly, and so they are under no obligations or requirements to provide insurance to their employees. If they do, and they choose to buy insurance in a new marketplace, they may be eligible for tax credits to help them pay for it.
We've seen some ramifications from that. I know that some who have been on the edge of 50, they have either they've dropped the hours to a part-time level, or they've laid off workers. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, there is a lot of stories about that happening. There's actually very little evidence that's happening. And so the thinking is that once you get to 50 employees or more, there are certain requirements that you either provide insurance or pay fines. And so there is some stories in the media of employers that are right around 50 employees that either drop below that level or don't hire new employees to keep them under that level. I have no doubt that that is happening at the margins. But if you look at employment data, if you look at labor statistics, there's no evidence that that's happening on any sort of wide basis. And the same thing goes for hours. And so under the law, large employers have to provide insurance to their full-time employees. And full-time is defined as 30 hours a week or more. And so again, there has been some fear that that would cause employers to cut people below 30 hours to part-time. And again, that is probably happening to some extent, but there's no evidence in any of the data that it's happening at any broad level. And it's because when you think about it, there's not a whole lot of people that work at, say, 32 hours a week that it's easy to cut their hours and not have it make an impact on the business. There's not a lot of businesses that have 51 employees, and it's easy to cut down to 50.
What do employees have to know because of their options, and where do they go? What's sources?
Okay, so the employees, most employees get insurance from their employers, will continue to get insurance from their employers, and very little for them will change. For those employees that work for companies that don't provide insurance, they now have an alternative place to go and buy insurance, and this is through the new marketplaces. And for those folks, they should go to the new marketplace, they should check out their options, see what insurance might cost, and determine if they're eligible for tax credits to help pay for them.
You know, as you said, there's a lot of information out there, and we hear from both sides of the political aisle about some of the negativities that exist, but you seem pretty positive about the law. Why is that?
I'm positive about this law because I'm comparing this law to what would exist without the law, and that's the status quo. And the status quo is that our healthcare system is a disgrace. We have terrible access, we have terrible quality, and we pay more for that than anybody else in the world. And there are lots of parts of this law that will improve on that. Is it perfect? Certainly not. Can we discuss alternatives? If someone would bring some alternatives to the table, I think I and anybody else would be happy to discuss them. But right now, this is the reform that's on the table. This is the reform we're implementing it. And rather than politicians fight about getting rid of it, I would like to see some of them talk about how to improve it.
Sheldon Weisgrau, Director of Health Reform Resource Project. Thanks very much, and welcome to Garden City.
Thank you.